Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike. With me, as always, is my podcast partner, Jen Graves. And today, we are talking about a fun little show.
Hey, you back that shit up right now.
Okay.
When did
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All right, hold on, hold on. My heterosexual podcast life partner.
You damn straight.
How's that sound?
Damn
Does that sound better?
Yeah, I feel like I was channeling Tiffany there for a second, because I was like, you know, when you watch the videos, like, it'll be like a couple, and like the girl will call the guy like scamp or buddy or something like that, and they're like, hold on, what the fuck did you say? Felt like
anyways,
that's what I was channeling.
Anyways, today on this podcast, we are talking about Tokyo Godfathers, a 2003 anime movie directed and I think written by Satoshi Kon, because we are taking a break from the Digimon stuff, because we're a little Digimon'd out right now, but we'll eventually get back to the Digimon stuff eventually. We wanted to take a break and talk about a Christmas movie, because we always talk about a Christmas movie in December, right?
Tis the season.
And have you seen this movie?
Is this your first time watching it?
Okay. Okay. I was just checking.
What do you mean? Well, you haven't seen it before?
Well, I mean, like, was this like your first like viewing experience?
This is what popped my Tokyo Godfather cherry.
You could say that.
I did say that.
So let's get into discussing and talk. Wait, no, I got to tell you something first that happened before the podcast. So I downloaded this new game on the PlayStation. It's called Timberman, The Adventure Begins or something like that. I remember what it's called. But it's about this lumberjack guy. He's like this beefy lumberjack guy. Like, he's like beefy, and he has to go help his bear friend save the bear friend's family, because they got taken by evil corporations and whatnot. Okay. And I'm sitting there, I'm playing this, and I'm like, oh man, thinking to myself, oh man, I finally get representation in a video game. A beefy bearded man is finally getting representation.
I finally get the representation I deserve.
And I'm sitting there playing it. It's a fun little game. It's a fun little like 2D like action adventure like platformer, you know? And I'm sitting there playing it, having a good time. And my kid walks out of the room and she's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm playing a game. And she's like, hey, that guy looks like you, but pixelated. And I'm like, he does look like me, doesn't he?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's great. Love it.
Yeah. So I had that happen, you know.
He looks like your daddy.
Yeah. But we got a good movie for you guys to talk about. You want to start us off in this discussion, Mr. Graves?
Yeah, we're talking about Tokyo Godfathers.
That's right.
Which I've only heard about this in name alone.
Really?
Yes.
This is my second time watching this movie.
I had never seen this before, but one of my brothers really, really enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, I had never really like seen this at all or anything. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a really good thing to finally be able to say, like, I watched it, I guess.
Is this your first Satoshi Kon movie?
What else has he done?
He's done Perfect Blue, Paprika. I think he did one of the things in Memories, one of the stuff in that. Let me. He's done. Was that one? That one manga called Opus. He did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Magnum Opus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done Dreaming Machine and stuff like that. That was his last movie, was Dreaming Machine. He did. He's no longer alive. He's dead. He's a dead guy.
That brought the mood down.
Sorry.
He's no longer alive. He died.
He died in 2010.
But he did Opus.
Yeah, he did Opus, yeah.
Okay. I have that manga. So
that
makes a little sense now, I guess.
He's very much praised for his work. And I think it's honestly really well deserved. I mean, he's done like a couple things here and there that people have really, really enjoyed, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say he's up there, possibly even better than Miyazaki, in my opinions. As a filmmaker,
I'm about to say that's some big stuff right there, buddy.
It is a big thing because he made less movies than Miyazaki, so you know.
Yeah,
you know, but I like Satoshi Kon. I'm gonna be up in front about that. I like his movies. They're really interesting sometimes.
Yeah, like I said, like I've seen Opus, and that was kind of a wild ride to begin with.
Oh, the manga?
With that. Yeah, the manga.
Yeah.
Because it was like his world inside of like them finding out, you know, like where you have something where like they have the creation of whatever, and then like the people are like, oh, hey, did you know that your artist is actually like above the sea or something like that? And you're like, what? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about?
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
I've never actually read Opus. I've only seen it. Like I've seen it on the bookshelves and stuff. But yeah, let's get into this and talk about this. So our story starts out on Christmas Eve, of all places.
Right.
With these two homeless people. One is named Gin and one is named Miss Hana, and they are sitting there at this recital, like a religious recital, and they're one of them's falling asleep and the other one's just watching. I think they're there because they want the free food, because it's also like a food thing for the homeless in Japan.
Yeah, it's correctly. It's a church thing. It's like to get you to find Jesus. By also promising food.
Yeah, and so it's funny, like, they're getting in the food line, and they're talking, and, like, Hana is talking about how, like, oh, maybe I can get pregnant and have a baby, and because he's a, I don't remember if Hana is trans or was a drag queen. They never really fully say what she was.
Hana, I'm pretty sure, was a drag queen,
uh-huh.
But I think that's just because of the time.
Okay.
You know, I think it's because of the time. Like, they didn't really know what it was called at that point. Yeah. I don't think that they knew. They just knew to call it drag, not to.
Yeah, because this. Go ahead.
Not to call it anything else, you know.
This movie totally throws around, like, the homophobic slurs all throughout this movie, when I was rewatching it, I was like, oh, we can't say those words today, like,
right?
We can't say, like, you know, like homo, and I guess we can say queer, I guess we can say that, I think that one's okay to say stuff. But it was funny to see, like, not really funny, but like it was interesting to see like the representation of a trans person in anime and then not necessarily be the butt of the joke. I mean, she's really funny in this anime, but like, it's not like your typical, like, Hana is always the butt of the jokes. Like, it's not like your typical, like, right. Oh, I'm gay jokes or I'm queer
right.
jokes.
Well, and the other thing that I really like is, even though, like, that is a thing at times, like, you can tell, like, it's like an old friends thing between Hana and Gin.
Uh-huh.
And it, I mean, it's just like, you know, your best friend, like, having, like, a name for you that might be, like, sound derogatory or, like, mm-hmm. whatever, or, like, you know, stupid fatso, or, like, one
or
of the other
ones.
Geezer
is, like, they like to call Gin is Geezer. Yeah.
Geezer, or, like, My Love Story, where they call, what's his face, Gorilla. I mean, yeah. like, or even Slam Dunk, they call somebody else in there Gorilla, too. You know, it's like that sign of friendship. So, like, people get to call you that because of XYZ, you know?
Yeah. But, yeah, they're standing and waiting for food, and they're talking about, like, you know, I guess life and stuff and what's going on and whatnot. And they end up meeting with Mayuki, who is a teen runaway, and they meet up with her, and they end up going off. And
so I have a question with that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Has Mayuki been living with them for a little while? Because they made it sound like she had been living with them for a while.
Uh-huh.
Or parallel to them a little bit. And that she was, like, just scared to really go out in public. Like, I don't know if church was a thing for her or what.
I think she was living with them for a while. I don't know exactly how long she was living with them. But she was a runaway, and we'll get into why she ran away from home later on, because that's a big thing
right,
in this
right.
movie. But yeah, she runs away from home and becomes homeless, basically. But they end up meeting up.
I also have to tell you, my favorite little scene right here at the beginning was when they're standing in line for food after the whole, like, nativity story thing and whatnot.
Was it I'm Eating for Two?
Yeah, it was Miss Hana.
Yeah.
Which, you know, Miss Hana is trans, so Miss Hana's like, I'm eating for two. And you're just like, right before this thing, they were talking about how Miss Hana and Gin were both talking about how she's like a transition kind of story. They don't say that word, but how she's basically a transitioned man. And then the lady that's dealing out all the soup is like, what?
Yeah, and that comes back later on in, like, a really funny joke where they're on the subway with the baby, and then she's like, the lady shows back up, and she's like, huh, she was eating for two.
She really was eating for two. Eating for two. So, yeah, it was good. I love how that was set up, because then you don't expect it's going to happen again.
Which is really funny about this show. When we'll get into the plot, I'll talk about but, like, the jokes in it, like, the way this is, like, it can go from, like, super serious to crazy and, like, a heartbeat, and then it goes back to being, like, serious or whatever, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
The timing for the comedy jokes is really funny. But we have Gin, Hana, and Mayuki. They all get done, and they go all decide to go dig through. I don't know if it's trash, but they're like books nobody wants anymore, because they want to go look for a present for Mayuki, for a Christmas present, kind of. I think they're maybe doing like a book exchange or something. It wasn't really clear exactly.
Well, I think it was like something that Hana knew was there, because they did say at one point that she knew that she put that set of books somewhere. They were like children's learning books.
Yeah. And they end up going, and they find a baby, a dumpster baby. They find a miracle baby.
There's no dumpsters.
There's no dumpsters, but they do find a baby kind of buried in some books. There's like, she's in like a bassinet. And I think there's some stuff in the box, like the bassinet that she's in. And there's a note that says, please take care of this child. And there's some pictures and a key. And they start talking about how they want to take it to the police, but they don't know what exactly they should do, because they're homeless people with a baby. You know, how are they going to take care of the baby and stuff like that, and whatnot, you know? So they take the baby back to their house, and they start to take care of it and feed it. And we start to learn little bits and pieces about each character's backstory, which is really interesting. We find out that Gin, well, I use quotations, Gin was a famous like bike racer, and he ended up like, I think he's like throwing the race, according to him, and he ended up losing his family and stuff and whatnot. You know, he kind of talks, and you could kind of see in this scene, you can tell that Gin was once a father, but they didn't really, they know each other, but they don't know each other. If you get what I'm saying.
They don't exactly like bring it up yet.
Yeah, they don't bring up anybody doesn't bring up anybody's backstory. Like, they're like just living their life day to day and like not really truly knowing who the person is that they're living their life with, which is really interesting to see, I feel like.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, they find, go ahead.
I thought that was also pretty cool too. It's also really weird how we kind of go around with a lot of these like little, like almost like homeless shacks,
mm-hmm.
and where they're located and what's in them and all this other stuff is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you know, like the book place had a shack, and I thought that that was going to be like one of the places that one of them lived at.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
No. Yeah, and homeless. Then, go ahead.
And then, you know, they had like a little like place out in like one of the parks where they lived at, which is where like what they called home slash their house was.
Yeah, it was like a tarp tent type of thing.
Yeah. And so yeah. I mean there was that one, or like a little like pop up like barn tiny home. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and it had a stove and everything in it. And of course, you know, we see the old guy later on, he's got one. And it's just really weird how like they're kind of like all over in different areas, and some of them they have like their own like neighborhoods, kind of sorta, slash just whatever it is in different places. So a couple times after we got where they were at their like neighborhood thingy, like I knew what the house was, where their house was, but like that first one I thought was their house.
Oh, the where they were getting the books?
Yeah, where they were getting the books.
Oh no, I think that was part of like the church or something. I think that was near like the church. Wherever they were exactly. I don't know.
I think it was a totally different place.
Probably. I mean, it's not really clear, like, because like several of the homeless people like end up going there, and you see them with books as well. So like it's a known place.
So and here's the other weird thing about that though. So we catch it by when Miyoko, right?
Yeah, Miyoki. I think it's Miyoko. Let me look.
Okay.
Miyuki.
So whenever Miyuki runs into the other two homeless guys, you know, she runs into them and she finds that little like parenting magazine or whatever, but they have books. And so that's like the fifth or sixth copy of that red leathered book that we saw, kind of sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is exactly, but you can tell like it was time for something to get changed out because all those books were in the trash. I mean, we see it in multiple places that those books are sitting. And we catch it from the two guys, if you were listening, that they actually, people go to that spot to get the books because, you know, like the city is actually supposed to burn those or whatever. And I guess what they do is they leave them out for the homeless people to use as like their firewood kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. Which is weird because like homelessness in Japan, like homeless people are treated really bad in Japan. Like they're treated like almost not as citizens almost. Like, well, people
and I think like, I think that that's kind of like either or. I don't necessarily think that that's because I know what you're going off of. You're going off of where the kids went out and messed with Gin and the old guy.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about like in general, like in general, like in Japan, homelessness, like normal, I guess normal citizens, whatever you want to call them, people who are not homeless, do not treat the homeless like the same as like you would treat somebody who is not homeless. Like they look down upon them. They don't treat them well. They, you know, they basically look at them as like they're invisible.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Which, I mean, they're all, they also, I don't know if you saw this recently. So, you know that they're having a thing where they'll give you money to basically, or like an allowance for a week or a month or whatever.
Yeah.
If you move to Japan and some of like the more rural places, if you, if you, live in one of those places, because there's so many young people moving to the bigger cities.
Yeah.
And the older people are dying and they're leaving like houses empty and stuff. Yeah. So they'll actually pay you to go live there.
You can actually get abandoned houses for free apparently in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the, some of them, they'll give you like allowances and stuff.
But anyways, we find, or I should say, Hana goes missing with the baby, who they named Kyoko, apparently. And Hana goes missing, and Gin and Mayuki try to go find her. They do find her, and they basically, Hana wants to keep the baby as her own.
Yes.
Because she feels like it needs a mother, it doesn't have a mother, and it needs one. But Hana obviously cannot take care of this baby. They promise to go to the cops eventually, but they never actually go to the cops, which is funny.
Well, they say they're going to go to the cops the next day.
Yeah.
But which is also funny, like, watching this, because so much happens.
So much happens, yes. And so much happens in the span of 2 days.
It only happens in the span of a day.
Is it a day? Okay, it's a day.
It's only a day.
Because it's Christmas Eve is the very beginning, and when they wake up, it's Christmas, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Well no, because they never fully go to sleep. So,
okay.
Like, they're trying to, and things happen, but, like, it's whenever the church thing happens, which, if I'm tracking this right, because...
Mm-hmm.
AKA I went to church once upon a time. I mean, like, maybe 4 or 5 is when it happened, and we go until like sunup, which is probably 7. So I mean, we have like a 12-hour time span that everything happens in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, like 12.
Yeah.
12 or 15 hours.
They end up going off because they find like a key that was in the baby's bassinet and some pictures and stuff like that. They end up finding the locker that the key goes to. And they find all this stuff in there, like clothes, pictures, all kinds of nice, neat things that somebody would have. You don't know why they have this, but they have it, or why it's there. Who knows? Well,
and I'm even like more confused on all that crap. So, like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, there's like really nice, like, panties in there.
Yeah.
Like, lingerie, the pictures, like, all this other stuff. And you're like, and when we get to the end of the movie and we see, like, how these people are living too, and they're not really that different from the homeless people.
Yeah.
They just have an apartment. Then you're kind of like,
What's going on here?
How did all this shit get in this bag?
Yeah, like, what's going on?
So, which
I don't know if it ever really gets answered. Why the bag was there? I'm guessing the mother was potentially going to try to run away, is what I gathered. The mother who abandons the baby is what I figured, but is what was going to happen.
The false mother.
Yes, the false mother. We'll get to that later. Don't, no spoilers for the people. But yeah, so they end up finding all this stuff and they take the pictures and they're like, okay, we're going to go find this place where these two people in this picture are, which they're behind like these two big, huge skyscrapers. They end up going off to on a train, which well, the funny details on this train were like everybody is like covering their mouth and trying to like not smell the homeless smell. People because they smell yeah. really bad. And there's this funny joke. Where
it's not the skyscrapers first, it's the business card.
That's what it's the business card, yeah. Sorry. It's the business card, then the skyscraper later. But Hannah turns to Gin and she's like, when was the last time you washed your clothes or yourself? You smell really bad. Which I'm like, I think both of them probably smell really bad, right? I mean, it's kinda
I don't know. I mean, it could totally be something different. Because I mean, you know, Miss Hannah could do it more often because she wants to exude that beauty and whatnot.
But even though everybody in the movie calls her ugly, like everybody's like, "Oh, you're so ugly for a woman," you know, and I'm like, "Oh man, like that's rough." That's rough.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of like a compliment because, you know, they're, you know, Miss Hannah was born a man at birth and, you know, decided to not want to be identified as that. So, you know, Miss Hannah was born, whatever the real name was, which I'm glad we don't actually get any of those details because I feel like that would water down the character.
Yeah.
So, as far as we know, it's just Miss Hannah. And for people to assume that she has always been a girl, quote unquote, I think is really relieving in that sense, even though they are trying to do it like derogatory way of saying that she's ugly. You know, and like we said, for the time for that to be in this movie, I think is a lot more forward thinking than a lot of other movies that would have came out around this time.
No, I definitely do agree with that aspect. And once we get to her story, it's really sad. Like her story is sad. Well, they're all sad. They're all sad. But I mean,
they are. And I like how it's sprinkled in.
Yeah, it's not like info dumped on you. It's very sporadically sprinkled in for all three of them. And what this anime does very well is the character development of each character in this. Like
it does.
Yeah. They're very well developed. They're very much three-dimensional. I feel like these characters are people you could probably actually meet in real life.
Yeah.
Because they're like fully fleshed out people who have, you know, been wronged. By society.
It makes you fall in love with the baby too, even though like we don't really have answers. Like
no.
Going through it, like we overcome one mystery only to be led into another. But you know, like we're getting closer to the end goal. And it just kind of keeps going from there. Like the next part where they're trying to get stuff done, and I like where they flip the coin and which way are we going? Left or right?
Yeah, left or right.
And they, you know, every time Hannah goes, we're going right.
Yeah.
And then they find the big fat guy that's kind of almost getting crushed by his car.
Oh, one thing I do like that I thought was really funny, or funny and because it was like funny for a joke, but like they end up scavenging for food in a cemetery. Which I thought was very smart. And I was like, oh, yeah, people in Japan probably would do that if they're homeless. Like,
yeah,
because they leave out offerings and stuff and stuff like that. And then they find an offering for what I'm guessing was a child because they have diapers and milk and stuff like that for the baby. Well, which
Gin,
I was like,
Gin finds the bottle of booze and
he finds a bottle of booze and gets drunk. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting and such a lucky coincidence. Like, that stuff was there, you know?
Which, and there's a lot of those, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of coincidences, like, oh, that happened. Oh,
almost what? Like it's a Christmas miracle of sorts.
Right? And I love that they play that up too, that there's a lot of things that are Christmas miracle.
But I love that, like, there's the Christmas miracle aspect, and we're going to crank that up to 11 and be right. like, yeah, this is in here and it's crazy, but we're going to go with it, even though, you know, Christmas miracles aren't actually a thing, you know, wink, wink, you know, and the characters
you
like
monster.
Sorry. Santa is real. Okay, guys.
Santa's you monster. Santa's Stop playing real. With my emotions.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, they find all that stuff, which is good. And they meet, like you were saying, they meet the guy trapped under the car because he ended up getting stuck in the snow on a hill.
Which, is he like over the Yakuza? That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, he was like over the Yakuza.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so here's another part that I have a question on this one. So, you know, they do that. They go to his daughter's wedding so that they can get food and all this other stuff. And he's going to give him some money.
Married on Christmas Eve?
Obviously, this guy's daughter. Okay.
But I know, like, in Christmas, like, Japan, in Japan, Christmas is different. You know?
And not necessarily.
I mean, it is, kind of.
I mean, it's celebrated there because of America, even though technically it's not. It's not really, it's kind of like Columbus Day for us. I think like they still celebrate it, but it's not really like a staple.
Yeah. It's like almost like a dating holiday almost for like them in Japan.
Maybe.
That's what I've always heard.
I don't know. I just know that's like White Tie Day and Chocolate Day or whatever, or Valentine's Day. Yeah, I mean, just like maybe like New Year's. That's what it kind of seems like. You know, here some people take it or leave it. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of what it seems like Christmas for them is. But we have that, and isn't his daughter's name Kyoko as well?
Yes, her name is Kyoko as well. Yes.
So, that's one on top of already having the baby named Kyoko.
Which I don't know if Kyoko is actually the baby's name. They just name it Kyoko.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we ever really get a name for the baby, but...
No, I don't think so either.
But yeah, they call her Kyoko through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then this guy's daughter's name is Kyoko. She's getting married to a guy he doesn't like, which... I really wish we had a little more info on that.
Yeah.
Because an assassin tries to shoot him and the groom jumps in front of that and gets shot.
Yeah.
And it looks like everything's fatal. So I don't know. Yeah. And then the dad goes from like, I kind of hate your guts to, oh my God, my son.
I mean, he hits him like in like vital areas, it seems like. But we find out that this man who does get shot, he actually swindled or he got Gin into debt. Apparently, for reasons, I think it was gambling debt. I think it was he gets him for, but he ends up borrowing a bunch of money and getting in debt. And he ends up getting like enraged at this guy at the same time. He's gonna go whack him over the head with a bottle. At the same time, we get the assassin who shows up, and it's this waitress. She ends up going to shoot the guy, but the groom gets in the way, which we find out that. The assassin is actually a man in drag or in disguise, basically. And I was like, damn. Right. I was like, damn, he makes a pretty woman.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Because I forgot that happened in the movie.
Were you like, pretty woman walking down the street? Oh, like, my God, you're a man.
Like, when that was revealed, I was like, oh, my God, she's a dude. And because the assassin ends up taking Mayuki and the baby hostage, and they go off, and Gin and Hana have to go find the baby and Mayuki and the assassin and whatnot.
See, and I don't know if I just like, because every time they kind of like panned over to that person, I just kept thinking like, all right, what's this person going to do? Because we keep seeing them a lot.
Yeah.
And then when they pulled the gun out, I was like, oh, they pulled the gun. Oh, man. And then when they pulled the wig off, I was like, they pulled the wig off.
Like,
and it was like, I kind of knew like that was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I knew something was up, and I was like, oh.
I was like, oh, you're a boy assassin. Yep. Which, he was speaking Spanish throughout the entire part of his movie, or of this movie. And I was like,
right.
I was like, huh. Like, how did he get over here and entangled right. in with the Yakuza? Was he part of, like, the mafia? Like, because we don't get,
could
like,
be.
We don't get, like, subtitles for him, like, at all.
That's it true. There's two Spanish. Different things we... There's two different things we don't get subtitles to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We don't get stuff for when they talk in Spanish, and we don't get stuff for when they talk in English.
That's true.
Because that's a couple true. People say like slogans or something in English, mm-hmm. and they don't put subtitles down for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the... When the assassin leaves, he takes Miyuki.
Mm-hmm.
Miyuki with him. And they go back to like his apartment with his wife and child.
Yeah.
And she's speaking Spanish and knows like a little bit of Japanese, and they're trying to figure out how to kind of communicate together.
Yeah.
And Miyuki tells her that her dad is a police officer and something else, and like her grandfather or something was too. Mm-hmm. And the lady goes, "Police officer, yes. Grandfather, yes." And you're like, English? Yes.
English? What? English? But the only thing we really get from this conversation is the assassin's wife has really big boobies. And that's all Miyuki knows is she has really big boobies.
Which it gets played out too, like earlier on too, because like Gin ends up groping Miyuki at one point because she's trying to, they're like bullying each other, like old man, little girl, like all this other stuff. And so that's really funny that kind of came back into play whenever she was talking about it, whenever she's like, oh my gosh, look at those boobs.
Because they're all wide out in the open. They're like, bam,
yeah,
titties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the wife breastfeeds, which is two other things that always catch me off in this through the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
Is they always have something for the baby to eat.
Mm-hmm.
A bottle, breast milk, something. They always have something for the baby to stay warm or the baby to eat. The other thing is they always have money at some point, and it seems like they lose it right away and they get it back.
Yeah. Christmas miracle, just saying.
Miracles.
Several.
But,
go ahead.
But this is where they split off too. So Miss Hana goes to find Miyuki, mm-hmm. becomes friends with a taxi driver, and Gin ends up disappearing with bottles of alcohol he stole from the wedding after they kind of split apart.
He becomes like drunk. He gets like really drunk.
Yeah, he's starting to get drunk and he's walking down the street. I forgot where he's going. And he sees an old guy that has collapsed. So he picks him up and takes him back. And the old man says, oh, you know, can I make her last request? Can I have some of that alcohol?
Yeah.
And then he keeps making requests. You know, can you get rid of this thing so that nobody knows who I am? Because that could be a problem. Which, did we ever find out who he actually was?
No, I don't think we do find out who he was.
Because I know they have the letter, but I don't think that we find that out. But then, you know, he had the poster or the little thing with the buildings on it, so Gin got that. And it's funny because this is one of my other favorite parts where Gin goes to like close his eyes because he thinks he's passed on
and he's not,
and he does it and he opens his eyes again and he goes, can I make one more request? So he's asked for like five different requests and he goes, you want some more of this? And he shakes the bottle of alcohol. He's like, yeah. So, yeah. You know, he goes, this is my dream. I always wanted to die drunk and in a warm bed, I think he said. And he said, at least I'm getting half of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then this is the part where you were talking about where people treat the homeless a lot worse because like a group of these like teenage kids try and get Gin to get in a fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Which I mean, you can tell with the first kid that they can't do shit. But
yeah, they're like, there's like four or five of them.
I think there were six.
Or six, okay, and they end up overwhelming him and like just beating the shit out of him.
Like, yeah, holding him down, bad. And then the really sad thing though is where the other two guys get in the old guy's house and pull his body out.
Oh yeah, that was
I was like, man, I only wish like you. I only wish that their parents were around, because I mean, you know, somebody would definitely reprimanded them for that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Just to see like the disrespect, like yeah. not caring about anybody.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in this, you know, I guess at one point one of the guys hit Gin really good / he was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the part you said you like, where he sees somebody that looks like an angel.
Oh yeah. He's in like a back alley.
And he thinks that he's like died.
He thinks he's like dying, and he's see like this bright light, and this angel, this woman, this angel appears, and she's like, oh, would you like a magic or for me to call an ambulance? And she, and Gin's like, I would like an ambulance. And like right away, like the light goes away and like the tone of the angel like changes. She's like, what do you mean you want an ambulance? Type of thing, you know? And we find out that she is like a hostess, I think, at the club.
I didn't realize that. I thought that he just passed out.
No, like she's a real person, because she's in the bar with the baby at one point, and she's a host. No,
I mean, I thought Gin passed out.
No, I mean, he passes out afterwards, because he like wakes up in the alley and he sees her, and he's, you know, and whatnot. But yeah.
And then Miss Hana and everybody else go to find an old acquaintance of hers, mm-hmm. which is like the head hostess drag queen that owns the bar, mm-hmm. that Miss Hana used to be a singer at,
mm-hmm.
and
we find out a little bit more. They
find Gin again.
Yeah, they find Gin. He's being taken care of by, I think most of them are drag queens. I don't remember. Some of them might not be. I don't know.
This location they are.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
We find out more about Hana's backstory and how Hana used to be a singer at this bar, and she stopped singing after what was his name? I don't remember what his name was. But she ends up stopping singing after her boyfriend dies, and you know, the boss of the bar, like the manager or whatever, thinks it's AIDS, but it's not AIDS. It's actually, he'd slipped on some soap, apparently.
Miss Hana did?
No, Hana's boyfriend.
Oh.
Slipped on soap and died. And because of that, Hana became like a homeless person. Because I guess she became depressed and stuff and couldn't work.
See, and I don't remember that happening. I just remember where the guy in the bar
told Hana that she was ugly. This was before that.
Okay. Like,
yeah, so that was a backstory about like her singing at the bar, but she was talking about like they didn't know Hana was homeless. You know, they didn't know what happened to Hana's significant other and stuff, because Hana basically like, from what I took away from it, Hana disappeared.
Well, and I thought that that was a joke that the lady said about Hana herself.
No, like
maybe she slipped and hit her head on the bar.
Maybe that was the joke, but no, she said that her boyfriend slipped in his head. Yeah.
Because I know that the reason why she left the host club thing was because the guy called her an ugly lady, and then she hit him.
She beat the shit out of him.
She disappeared.
Yeah.
thinking like, oh my god, he's gonna press charges, and then the head hostess was like, oh, a little bit of money took care of that.
Well, like, maybe that as well. Maybe I read it wrong.
I don't know. And that's one of the complaints that I have with this is that I think it would be a lot better if they did dub it.
It is dubbed. They dubbed it in 2019.
Okay.
So it has a dub, just nowhere streaming is it dubbed. You have to go buy the DVD or
Blu-ray. I kind of want to know what the voices sound like.
Yeah, me too. Like, I kind of want to go get a Blu-ray of this.
Because I'm like, are they going to match up or not? Because if they don't, I might be upset.
Because I remember when this was announced that it got dubbed, because it got dubbed by G-Kids, the people who put out all the Miyazaki movies over here. So, you know, it's got to be like a decent dub, right? You know?
Hopefully.
Man, now that you said that, I really want to go watch a dub of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that because everywhere we kept looking,
it was subtitled.
It was subbed, yeah.
Well, when I originally had this, like, I had the DVD for this movie back when I was in college, and it was only subtitles. So, like, it was just recent, in the past, like, 3 years that it... 4 years that it got dubbed.
Yeah.
So it took a while for it to get dubbed over here. But yeah, they end up go ahead.
So we leave here.
Yeah.
From the drag queen hostess's house. And they end up going and finding the apartments that are like half burnt down.
Which that was... can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
They end up finding like these like apartments or whatever... Or was it like a building that was under construction? I think it was at first, right?
No, like something happened to it and it like got partially destroyed or something.
But they go to like, I guess it was under construction or something, and they go stay the night at the building, and there's all the cats around there.
Same building. It was the one that got damaged.
Okay, it's the same building. Okay. It was the same building. Like all the cats around there. And I love this joke where all these cats are like around them, huddled around the fire. And Gin's like, man, I could really go for some meat right now. And he's talking about eating a cat is what he's talking about. And like Hana's like, no, you're not going to eat the cats. And all the cats are behind her and they're all like meowing like, yeah, you're not going to eat us.
Yeah, meow. Know?
I thought that was really funny. I thought that was a cute touch for the movie. Yeah.
Well, and then I like where the old lady comes to feed them.
Yeah, and they're all like, "Oh, you! I would have thought you were homeless." He was talking to the cats, you know. But one thing I do like is before that, I think it is before the old lady comes. They're like looking at the picture, and they're like, "Oh man, this building is in the exact location as the picture is." And I love this joke where Gin walks out, goes to the front door. And opens it with the key, and he's like, "Honey, I'm home." And he closes the door, and the door falls down.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I busted out laughing at that part. I thought that part was so funny.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it too. Yeah. Well, and then the next part I like is where they ask the old lady that was feeding the cats, like, the stuff. She goes, "Oh, well, maybe Miss da 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 da." And then, like, you see two ladies. Yeah. And then they start talking about it, and it kind of jumps in between the ladies talking and them looking through stuff in the old apartment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, maybe Miss Da-da-da knows. And then there's two more ladies. And then by the time they're done, there's like, I don't know, almost like 8-10 ladies that are standing outside all like talking about what happened to this couple.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what?
Yeah. Cause we find out
going on.
We find out that the old couple, the couple who used to live there, who supposedly it's their baby, the husband ends up becoming like an alcoholic and a gambler, has a gambling addiction. And we find out that like apparently the wife used to beat on the man because they said he had bruises and stuff. But they don't know where any of these people are. They're like, oh, they're gone. We don't know where they are and whatnot.
Which, this gets us to the hospital first, right? Because this is where Hana like gets a really bad nosebleed and like passes out.
Yeah, which I don't know if they ever go into like what is wrong with Hana. Like, I wasn't for sure like what she had, like why she was so sick. I didn't know if they were like trying to say she had AIDS, but that's what I got. That's what I took away from it.
I don't know.
Because they bring up AIDS like a couple of times in the movie.
See, and I never caught that. I really think that they were trying to say like that there was like bronchitis or something. Because
okay, maybe.
Of when the blood, you know.
Yeah, it could have been bronchitis.
You know, it was something, and I think it was just because, like, they've been running around the whole time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I really think the first sign of that we get is right after they go to bed and sleep for a little while at the homeless, like, neighborhood.
Yeah.
And Hana gets up and walks with the baby, you know, because then we see her kneeled over on the ground. And is just kind of sitting there almost like she's worn out, you know? So
yeah.
I kind of think that kind of played into it. It was probably really just like exposure, you know?
You're probably right. This whole time. You're probably right because Gin even says like, how is she supposed to get through this? You know,
yeah.
The way we live our lives, we don't really get rest. We don't really get, the adequate food that we need, you know, stuff like that. So
right.
We're always on the go, stuff like that. You know, she's not gonna be able to recover.
Right. Well, and then the exhaustion, you know, like,
yeah, the exhaustion. Yeah.
Cause they've been running around. They've been trying to look for him. They've been doing all this, you know, Hana looked like the dead whenever she originally found Miyoko at the little apartment with the assassin's wife. I mean, like, there's plenty of times where you can kind of see the signs of that, but they do that. We get to meet
Kyoko,
which is Gin's daughter. That's a nurse.
Yeah. And she happens to be working as a nurse at the same hospital that they're at currently.
I think that's the fourth Kyoko.
Is it?
I think so.
No, it's the third one. It's the third one because the other ones.
I feel like we missed one though.
No, it's the third one. She's the third.
So we get that one, and then they talked about it. So we find out, you know, because he thought his daughter was dead too at one point.
I think he said she was dead. I don't really think she was really dead. I think he was just telling like a lie or a fib.
I don't know. I really think he didn't stick around long enough to find out because we have where he says that my daughter passed on and my wife wasn't long to follow.
Yeah. But do you think maybe like pass on means like they just left?
No, because he said she passed on first. Okay. So that's what
I think that's one of the
gray areas. And I think maybe one of the other things is it's just a mistranslation for us.
Maybe.
Because it gets brought up a lot, and it seems like every time they said somebody passed on at some point, you had where one person just moved somewhere and the other person actually died.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they use the same words interchangeably.
And we find out that Gin is actually, like we said, he got into debt and he couldn't like take care of the bicycle store he owned. And we find out that he had gotten into debt and also became an alcoholic, and he basically just vanished. And his wife tried to run the store by herself, but it was so hard for her to run. And they basically let the store go under.
Yeah.
And they ended up going out looking for Gin, but they could never find Gin.
Which, I guess it was a bicycle store. At one point, I feel like they said motorbike store, and I
might have been motorbike or bicycle because he talked about bicycles before.
Well, and it would make sense that he, with the ending of the movie where he's on the bicycle, you know.
Yeah.
So, We get that though, and then we get the little story that I like that Miss Hanna says, which I think that told hers and Gin's relationship like to a T.
Yeah, it did.
About you know, Gin is the red ogre that wants friends and all this other stuff, but people are too scared to come near him. And then Miss Hanna is the blue ogre, which is the one that pretends to be the one that is going to attack everybody. And then the red ogre comes and saves everybody, and then now they're friends, but then the blue ogre has to leave.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like the blue and red onis as well. Like,
I like
the stories that I like.
The little touches, like Gin looked like the ogre and a red ogre, and Hanna looked like the blue ogre, and like the other people were like other characters in that little story that he told or she told. Yeah. I thought those like really nice touches to see. It was very out of nowhere almost, I feel like, in the story. But I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Right.
Then
we split up again.
Yeah. Which I don't remember why they split up.
They split up because Hanna told that story and thought that Gin's daughter would like him more if Hanna was the enemy.
Oh yeah, because Hanna leaves.
Yeah, that's why we got the whole ogre story.
Because she gets mad and starts like berating Gin.
Like, right, but she tries to do that though.
Yeah,
that's why we got the ogre story.
Yeah,
like she wanted to make herself look like a bad person so that Gin looked like a good person.
Yeah,
even though it was just because he's gruff.
Yeah. True.
But they leave. They're walking down the little thing, and they find the lady that's about to jump off the bridge, which...
Yes. That scene was heartbreaking, yet funny, like, because they continue walking, and then they turn back.
The weird thing is when we have that split second when Hanna looks at the lady's face and realizes that it's the lady from the picture, I was like, red flag number one. About to jump, and you're going to give her the baby back? Like, red flag number one.
So, yeah, they stop her from, like, committing suicide. And,
Which, jump back over to Gin real quick. Uh-huh. He's still sitting in the hospital.
Yeah.
And there's a news report that comes on the TV about a baby that's been stolen, which, weirdly enough, who does it look like?
It looks like Kyoko.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now he tries to go find where it is, but he got that little note somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out where the apartment was and went and jumped the guy.
Yeah.
Sort of.
He sort of jumps him, but he's like, you know, he wants more of the story. He's like, where's this woman at? You know, what's going on with this baby? Why did she abandon the baby and stuff like that? And the guy basically tells him,
it's not really mine.
Yeah, it's not really mine. Like, we had a child, but the child ended up dying.
Yeah.
And she tried to replace the child.
I did really like this part where he's like trying to do that. And then you kind of get to the, oh, so she either like slept with another man or something. And then it kind of goes a little farther and it's like, no, she stole the baby. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So then he finds the girls, mm-hmm. tells them, hey, you know, no, that lady's crazy, we gotta go find her, which was weird because I feel like this is an animal thing. Like, babies and dogs are kind of on the same wavelength at some point. Mm-hmm. You know, if a dog doesn't want to come near, I think there's a problem. And on this instance, it was the baby didn't want to latch to this lady at all.
Yeah, you're like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, something's going on.
There's problems here. There's problems. More red flags.
Yeah.
Of course, then they have to track her down.
Can we skip back to this one joke that happens? So they're at a convenience.
Then we have to go back to the park.
I want to talk about the convenience store when they go to the convenience store.
Okay.
And they're like there, like just hanging out, whatnot, getting some rest. And like this guy comes in and he's like drunk off his ass. And he and he's like kind of berating them and whatnot. And then like the manager of the store, whatever, the employee tells them they have to leave. They get to this fight outside, and this ambulance just drives right into the convenience store. And the guy gets out and he's like, can somebody call an ambulance?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about that because I thought it was really funny. It just out of nowhere, because like that split second, like all of these people almost died.
Right. Well, and there's just little tweaks like that. Like, yeah. Going back to the park where the lady is.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the parts that I like, where they're going, Gin, Hana, and Miyuki are all like
running,
charging this lady.
Yeah.
They're all going after her. And the lady runs to the inn, and they have the little yellow bars that, you know, like bikes and other things can't necessarily come in there.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like sidestepping to get around all these things, like so gently, and then starts going. And all three of them get up to it and just like pole vault over it, like, whew. Yeah.
And they end up running down like the back alleyways. And like, there's this one scene where like this guy ends up opening a door and they end up slamming into the door, but like Gin gets past him, which is really funny. Like, all these little small details.
We got the whole detail from before about turn right or let's go left, turn right.
Yeah, turn right.
You know, Gin, you're such a bad gambler, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, all the little details, which is really funny. They end up having this really cool chase on a bicycle / car, you know, which I really liked. It's the whole chase scene. Like, it's very dynamic and very well done.
And we see the taxi driver again.
The taxi driver, yes.
Him and Hana are like best friends. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because like he didn't want to like drive her anywhere before, but Hana like made him drive her.
Yeah, and then they became best friends. Like, hey.
They became best friends, yeah.
But they're going through the building. I don't know exactly what the building was because part of the doors were locked, part of them weren't.
And I was a little confused. Probably like an office building.
I guess so. And I was a little confused on why Miyuki was running up the stairs, and then it seemed like Gin and Hana beat her up the stairs. Like there was an elevator or something.
I think she was going to go up the elevator, but the girl got in the elevator who had the baby. And she was trying to go up the stairs to beat the elevator, I think it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was a funny scene too, where all the babies are crying when they're trying to find the baby again. And like, that's not her cry. Like,
no.
You've been with this baby for all of like 12 hours and you know the babies cry like automatically.
Well, the baby cried so much in this movie.
That's true too. But in this part we see like 12 other babies crying. Yes. And it's funny that they know whose cry it is, you know.
They're like, oh no, not that person, not that person.
Keep running, no, skip that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to see. That was a funny scene to see them like run around and look for the baby. And then we get to like the climactic event, I would say, where they're on the roof and Miyuki goes, and it's basically like, why are you doing this to the woman? Like, why are you doing this? You know, you don't need to kill this baby. Don't need to like commit suicide. And we find out that she ended up losing her baby. And she was kind of like, oh, maybe if I replace my dead baby with a live baby, that everything will go back to normal. You know, my husband will stop his foolish ways and love me again. And everything will be happy hunky dory. Which turned out to not happen for her, almost, you know.
Right.
And we see Miyuki, like, go and die for this woman. She catches her, and she's basically like, you know, come on, you have more to live for, stuff like that. And she goes to give the baby to Miyuki. We also find out that this woman's husband is there, and she's like, come on, like, let's...
And all of them grab the lady.
Yeah. And they all grab the lady, yeah.
Somehow, like, the baby slips out of her arms. So there goes Miss Hana. Miss Hana jumps to get him.
Yeah. That was crazy.
And And then, you know, like, so she catches like a big flyer thingy.
Yeah,
I don't know what those things are exactly called.
It's like a big banner, it seems like.
Yeah, like a vertical banner.
Yeah, and it ends up breaking, and she ends up falling with the banner.
Yeah, stuff. and then like going to the ground real hard and everything, and then just a gust of wind, you know, Christmas miracle, and now the sun's up, you know.
Yeah.
So true. Now it's Christmas morning, you know. Whoo.
Yeah.
And then the wind has to just keep blowing or whatever, because like Miss Han and the baby come down so gracefully.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, what is going on? This is so graceful.
Yeah. And we end up finding out that they end up in a hospital, all three of them. We find out that the people who are actually the parents of said child want to meet the people who saved their baby.
I have a question right here before we go past that part.
Yeah.
So when all three of them are talking in the room, there's a little scene that cuts away and I don't know what it is.
Okay.
But they show like a box spring. Kind of, sort of, not like the big one, but like the iron frame with the springs on it and stuff, or the grate, you know, for like a bed.
Yeah.
And there's a little bag that's on it that has a bunch of money in it and like a book sitting somewhere. And I don't know what that was supposed to be. And every time I watched it, like I had to go back and watch that, just that little clip like 15 times, and I couldn't figure out what that was.
I must have missed that, because I saw the part where they have the ticket, like the lottery ticket.
And it might have been the money from the ticket.
Okay.
But the thing that it's sitting on looks like a metal bed frame with the metal like wires that go into it to support the bed. And there's like a little bag with the money partially hanging out of it and a book. That's in between like one of the squares. And it's weird, because I was like, okay, what's the relevant for that part? Is it just telling us that they have this money? Well, where is that sitting at? Because in the room, it didn't look like there was one of those beds anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so that was the part where I was a little confused on what that was.
I would have to go back and watch that part. Cause I don't remember that part at all.
It's like right there at the end, whenever they're all talking about like what they think she's going to grow up to be and what's going on and all this other stuff. And right before the parents like come into the room with them and Miyoko's dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or Miyuki's dad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Which we never talked about Miyuki's backstory. And how she stabbed her dad because, was it, she thought he got rid of her cat? Was that it?
I don't know. I don't ever feel like we fully knew that.
Like, she was a runaway because, like, she felt like her dad or somebody, I think it was her dad, got rid of her cat. And we find out later that apparently the cat came back, and, like, Miyuki has this piece of paper saying, like, oh, like from her dad saying, oh, the cat came back, which we see her dad several times with this anime. And he's like out looking for her. He happens to see her, you know, a split second. Yeah. And then they get the big reveal at the end where she sees her dad. And we find out that the two people who are the other two, Hana and Gin, are going to be godfathers because they want to, you know, have these people in their lives for saving their baby, which is pretty cool. But that's where the movie ends at this point.
Yeah, and then we get the weird montage of the buildings dancing.
The dancing houses.
Yeah, that was weird.
So let me ask you, what did you think of this movie?
So, being that I've never seen it before, and I wasn't really interested in watching it or anything,
It really, because it was on your list.
I know. I just picked it out. Like, I had never seen it before. So I was like, oh, it's maybe, you know, I can watch it finally, you know. Like, I've heard good things about it, but I've never seen it. I know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And any time that I ever knew that I sat down to watch it, it was never like, it was in bits and pieces. So it just ever, it just always seemed like a really long movie for no reason to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, after watching everything, like, it's a great movie. Like, I'm not going to lie.
It's a fun movie. It's a fun Christmas like this, movie.
I felt like this movie, like, really completed me in a lot of ways without knowing that. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, given I still have questions, like, what happened to the mafia boss? Like, you know, they were buddy-buddy with him. And
I think at one point, like, I think at one point they find out, like, the guy who got shot ends up surviving at one point.
Yeah, they find out because Gin's daughter's future husband is the doctor that worked on him and saved his life.
Yeah.
But he's, like, Gin's age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just have some questions about different little things. But other than that, like, overall, I feel like the story was pretty sound. You know, it's... But I think what really made it are all the little quirks that we come back to over and over again, or like everything like basically sets up a domino to later on be knocked down again, like for you to go, okay, well, I've seen that before. You know, we just, you know, I saw this, you know, you look at it from different perspectives. And in that essence, it's pretty weird. But I mean, I feel like it's all kind of like really completed in this cute little package.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I would probably rate this, like a solid five.
A solid five, really?
A solid five. Yeah.
Wow.
I felt like it was a really good movie without like, like, I think I'm going to have to figure out what the English dub sounds like or whatever. Because the English dub might break that. It might go down to a 4.5 if the English dub, like, the voices don't match how I feel like they have to sound now, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like after watching this, like, it kind of has to be added into, like, hey, every Christmas I got to watch this movie now.
You're gonna put this in your Christmas rotation?
Yeah, every December I got to watch this this Christmas movie. You know? I mean, it's just like, hey, we got to do that and add it in, you know, watch Die Hard after it or before that, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Like, this movie is a lot of fun. It reminds me of a lot of like other Christmas movies, but like at least I was like, you take those Christmas like twists or whatever and crank them up to 11 and like, you see like everything happen and stuff like. This, like I said before, like this movie does comedy like very well, and it like has like a nice pace to it, a nice flow. The cinematography is really good. Like there's,
and it just seems natural too.
Yeah, like the way like the different characters like are so expressive with their faces and stuff, and how they interact with each other. I feel like it's like how like a normal family would react, like if you like. You know, like, or like when people get together for Christmas and stuff, like you're like, oh yeah, like you fatso or whatever. I don't know what, but like they felt like an actual family, even though they weren't a family,
right?
I guess you could say. But I love this movie too. I think it's a lot of fun, and I think more people should know about it, even if they're not into anime, because it's just a beautiful film. And I think it like tells like a really good message as well, is the fact that, you know, even if you're like bottom of the barrel, you know, at your lowest of the low, you know, you can rise above and like do good things for people, even though people like treat you like shit because like, you know, you're homeless or you have less than what other people have, you know,
right?
Like they go above and beyond for this baby. Like, right. They risk their lives for this person they barely know. And I would love to get like a sequel, like Tokyo Godfathers 2, even though we know like they already have like a bunch of money now. They have like 2 million yen, I think it was, from the lottery. And like, I want to know more. Like, I want to know what happened to all three of them.
And like all the different, I mean, I don't even need another full movie. I could just have like, what's it called? Like,
a montage?
No, what is it where like it's extra episodes or something, but it's not
like an OVA?
Yeah, a small like 30-minute OVA.
Like, oh, this is what happened to Gan, Hana, that's all and Mikey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 10 minutes apiece, whatever, because we also have, we have the connection to the mafia boss. We have the connection to the taxi driver. We have the connection to the club again, having that acceptance. I mean, hell, we could even have a little thing with the drunkard guy and Gin, you know, Miyuki and her dad. I mean, everywhere we got like Christmas miracles going out the wazoo.
Yeah, I mean, like this movie definitely like follows like your typical Christmas movie formula.
Yeah,
you know, you start out, you have your problem, you have your low point, and then like you shoot back up to like, oh, everybody's happy and fine, you know, which I feel like the movie does it really well. And I think it tells a really good story, even at its like low points. Like, it's a lot of fun. Getting to spend time with these characters is cool, to get to know the characters, you know, because they're very much like, they're not open books at all. They're very much they keep to themselves, you know, and it's just them and Mayuki, you know.
Right. Well, and I feel like that's a good thing as well, because like you said about people being like bottom of the barrel or whatever, like everybody still has a story. And
yeah and this is their story, you know.
Yeah,
their story
it,
was
it
told
did that, but it was also like a redeeming story. Like, it was what I could compare it to is like The Blind Side or Radio or some, like, somebody's comeback story, you know. Because they went out on a ranch thinking, like, selfishly, like, oh, we can keep this baby and do all that stuff and whatnot. And then, like, look at all the stuff that came out of just that decision, you know?
Yeah.
Which I also have to point out something that I thought was funny is where Gin told them the whole time that they should take the baby to the police.
Yeah.
And at one point, then they're like, all right, we're going to, when they left Gin from the hospital, they're like, all right, we're going to go take this baby to the police.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that's what was brought up already.
Yeah. We already said, take the baby to the police.
Like what?
Yeah.
What's this decision-making ability that you guys are trying to pull?
Yeah. But I mean, I love this movie as well. I also give it a 5 out of 5. Like, I think it's a good movie, and I think it's one that like anybody can enjoy. Like, and I would.
So this is like our second or third top rated show.
Yeah, our second or third perfect 10, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, I enjoy it. My only complaint is I didn't get to watch the dub. I watched the sub, and I fell asleep halfway through the movie because I was tired. But yeah.
That's fine. You know, you had a buddy that covered it too. I really thought, like, well, and this is funny just in general, because most of the time, I know if we're watching something that's going to take roughly about an hour and a half, like, you're probably going to fall asleep to half of it.
It's true.
like I just know that. And I was sitting there today, and, like, by the end of this movie, I thought it was funny as shit, because like I'm trying to watch it at work and I'm like, oh Mike, I found it on YouTube. I can watch it. So like every 20 minutes I had to watch like a 5-15 second commercial or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, you know, I gotta watch a damn commercial. All right, let's get back to the story. Let's go. And like I didn't get interrupted once at work, like trying to watch this.
Oh really?
Which was weird. Yeah, it was weird. And so like I get done to the end of the movie, and like whenever they had the part where they're falling off the building or whatever, yeah, and all that stuff, and that, so they were all like, oh, it's a Christmas miracle, and they were in the hospital, and I was like, oh man, I'm finishing this movie, like from when I started it to where I ended, like, oh my god, it's a Christmas miracle. So I said that a couple times at work, and like I had my coworker like, what are you talking about?
Did your coworker watch it with you?
No.
Oh.
No, I sat back at a desk, so like I knew people came in, but like it wasn't anybody like I really had to help anything with. I think I really only had to pause it once, and then I took a little break. I took a little break maybe at like the 50-minute mark.
Uh-huh.
And I mean that wasn't very long though.
Yeah.
Because then when I took the break, I was kind of like, all right, taking a break. Just because, you know, I don't want to flood myself because I'm going to have to remember the shit for the show.
Yeah.
And you know, like, still got a full day's work, you know, so, well, like, hardly any work came in, all this other stuff. And I'm just sitting there like, Christmas miracle.
Christmas miracle.
But it also has such a story, though, I feel like laid out, like, you do want to consume it almost start to finish. Because when I took the break, like the only thing I was thinking about besides like, oh, do I have any work? Was, I got to get back to it and figure out what's going on. You know, what's going on with Gin and Miss Hanna and everybody, you know, like,
yeah,
what's going on, you know? So like, that was kind of a thing with it as well. Trying to take the break and like go, okay, you got to take this break, buddy. You got to take this break. Just kind of like let everything set in for about a good like 10 minutes, you know, and then we'll hop back onto it. And then it was like,
yeah,
but I want to look at it now. So,
yeah,
but yeah, that, like I said, if we see the dub or whatever, I'm hoping that it's not going to irritate me enough, because the voice actors and everything for this portrayed the character so well.
They did.
I really hope that the dialogue change wouldn't mess it up.
Like mess it up. Yeah, because everything seemed to fit perfectly most of the times with
I'm kind of skeptical too on the assassin's house with his wife, because like it wouldn't mess anything up if it was dubbed for them to speak Spanish, but what do you do whenever the part where the wife speaks English, do you change that to Japanese now? And
maybe they just speak English.
Do we use subtitles?
Maybe.
You know? I also want to know, like, if they would change that around at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go buy it, just see, like what they change or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Let us know what you think of Tokyo Godfathers. Have you seen it? What are your thoughts about it? What are your thoughts about this episode? Let us know. And we'll see you guys on the next episode. And what do we say to everybody?
Right. We will see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.